Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. So we all know I'm awkward, right? This is an established thing that we're
it's
aware
a fact.
Of. Yes. We're aware of. So I can't decide if I need to quit my gym.
Oh no, what happened?
So I've been psyching myself out. I've been going very consistently on very specific days. And when I go, literally every single time I've gone, the same girl is there.
Okay. Like at the front desk or what?
No. Like working out.
Oh, working out. Okay.
Well, I'm working out and she usually gets there like 5 or 10 minutes after me and generally is working out in the same area. But we've never said hi to each other. We just see each other and tend to gravitate towards each other because everyone else in the gym is 60 plus that time of day. Uh-huh. So I've been thinking for a week or two, I should introduce myself, but every time she comes in, she like puts on her headphones and she starts like running like immediately. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it'd be one thing if she was like casually strolling. I could be like, hey, and say mm-hmm. something because we're like on machines next to each other, but she's like intensely running. So I was like, okay, here's my plan. I'm going to like write a note.
Oh no.
And then like, give her a note, but make it seem like I wrote the note, like, because I happened to see her and like hand it to her, but I didn't want to like interrupt her. I don't
Abby.
Know. It played out differently in my head. So I don't know. It might be fine. I might never need to go back. I don't know. Like, she.
What'd she say?
Well, I handed her. So first of all, I waited until she wasn't like sprinting because I didn't want mm-hmm. her to fall. So she had slowed down and like I was done. I was getting ready to leave. So my whole goal was I'm getting like dump this and get out of here because I don't know how this is going to go. So I like go over to her.
What did your note say? Let's back up. What did your note say?
Hey.
Hi.
My name is Abigail. I happen to see you at the gym all the time. I'm married and I own my own business. It's hard to make friends. I thought we could do coffee sometime and I gave her my phone number.
I'm glad you led with I'm married because she's probably thinks you want to date her.
I didn't want her to think I was hitting on her, especially by giving her my number. Like, I was like, this could go sideways so fast. So I said friend and I said I was married in the note.
Okay.
But like,
and then you folded up and sprayed your perfume on it.
I didn't fold it up, but only because I had to carry it. But I didn't like hand it to her folded up.
You pull it out of your bra.
Stop. That's not how this went. So I went over to her. She was like in a cool down, but I jump scared her. She was startled.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, took off her headphone. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't want to interrupt, but when I introduced myself, I'm Abigail. I see you at the gym all the time.
So now you're saying what your note said.
Yeah. And okay. Then I just like set the note down. I was like, I didn't want to interrupt.
here's my number. Wink.
Like, have a great day. And she's like, oh, thanks. But like confused. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. So here's my read on that. First of all, fucking hilarious that you did that. I just find that so funny because I've been going to the same workout studio for over 3 months and have said maybe 3 sentences the entire time I've been there.
I haven't talked to anybody.
Yeah. I was told I have excellent posture from my instructor last time I was there. So basically they're obsessed with me is what's happening.
Oh, that's what's working out for you.
If I were her though, and you did this, I would have been jump scared. And then I would have been awkward of being like, I don't know what to do now. But in my brain, I would have been like, oh, I should have said or acknowledged or read or like cooled down and talked to her. And so I bet next time you go, she'll say something to you.
Yeah, because I'm going to see her on Friday if I go.
Yeah, you should now- go. You should go. Yeah. If she full on avoids you or if security comes up to you and says you cannot approach this woman again, then you can find a new gym.
I don't think that'll happen. I see one of three scenarios. I see one, she talks to me next time and like it starts awkward and then it's fine.
Yeah.
Two, she's still there, but she now avoids me every time.
Doesn't talk to you. Uh-huh.
Or I just stop seeing her at the same time because
she picks a new schedule. I think it'll be the first one, honestly.
I hope so. She's definitely a little younger than me, which makes me a little bit nervous, but whatever. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying, guys.
I love that for you. I do.
And I want you overthought this for 2 full weeks, which is
you have to keep us updated next week when it either resolves or moves forward. Yeah, I don't have any other updates. I just got the congratulations text from my workout studio of like, congrats, you've taken more than 25 classes with us now. How are you feeling? Like, well,
good for us for being more consistent. It's funny though, the gym was full up in January, and I'll tell you.
Oh, was it a ghost town now?
No one's there.
Yep. 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 That's how it is. I don't do the first workout of the day because there's a 6 a.m. workout, but there's a 7 a.m. class and then an 8 a.m. class. I do the 7 a.m. on Monday and the 8 a.m. on Fridays. And it was surprisingly small. Like the amount of people who cancel or just don't show up at the last minute. I'm like, oh, wow. Because you get like fine, like penalized by not showing up. And so that's the thing that holds me accountable.
I feel like if I went at a different time, it would be different. Like, I've definitely been, like, at 5 o'clock, and it's way busier, but...
Oh, like in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Or, but okay, I was like, in the morning?
No, I'm not that crowd.
No.
The problem with going at 5 is there's a mix of a ton of teenagers and all the after-work crowd. So I'm gross. I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
And if I went back to the classes, I know I'd see more women than are just like generally outgoing, but almost all of them are older than me. Or they are.
That's how my class is. I am the youngest person in every single one of my classes.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm in my mid-30s, guys. Like, come on.
Well, especially the Friday class, since it's 8 a.m., that's even later. Like, most working people don't work out at 8 a.m. And I really can only fit that in on a Friday. And so when I'm there, it's like, it's even the older crowd than normal. Because it's like the working people who do the 6 a.m. and then the slightly more flexible schedule people who do the 7 a.m. and then older people who do 8 a.m. and beyond.
Whatever. We're just a good crowd. People. It's fine.
I know. It's fine. I've always connected with old people. It's good. Okay, I want to go into a new segment that we are introducing. So forgive our, it's not rolling off the tongue yet. We're figuring it out. Maybe we'll adjust. This segment has a name, but it's basically in our efforts to appease all of y'all's nosiness and update you on what's going on behind the scenes at Boss Project headquarters and some really cool projects that we've wrapped up recently. And it's really just to give you a little bit of an idea of what the heck we actually do behind the scenes over here and how we work with clients. And if something resonates for you, we would love to chat. Or if you can think of someone who would benefit from something that we're talking about, then we would definitely love if you sent them our way. also want to use this as a place to, you know, we push out a lot of content. I don't know if you guys actually know that. We have 2 podcast episodes that drop a week that you probably know, but we also have 2 blog posts that drop every single week. And we are now hosting free workshops, free live workshops again. We call them our lunch break booty shakes. And so we have a lot going on over here. And so I just want to use this as like our bulletin board of announcements that's like in the common room of, you know, yeah, your dorm or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I am super excited about this client project we recently wrapped. It was for a CPA firm out of Texas. And the cool thing is they approached us and they were at this really cool crux in their career where they had been doing different things for a long period of time and to jump into business for themselves rather than starting from complete scratch, they actually had recently purchased another CPA practice. So it was a husband-wife duo. The husband had been practicing as a CPA for many, many years in another business. And the wife was coming in more as like the operations and sort of the creative marketing side of things. But they had purchased this CPA firm. It was already doing over $1 million in revenue a year. And they were having a really specific issue. You know, as part of purchasing the business, they received rights to the existing website. But the website wasn't doing anything for them. It appeared rather dated. It didn't include a lot of information, and it definitely didn't have anything about them or their personality or their take. And part of them purchasing the company was they wanted to add more strategy to the clients that they were working with, not just a cut and dry service that had previously been offered. And so we came in with the challenge of not only updating them and bringing the practice up to the 21st century, because the previous site was definitely on a dated platform, but also the actual operations of the business were done really old school, which there's nothing wrong with that, but they had a desire to have a more digital first appearance, but they needed to appeal to a generation of boomer clients who had been used to doing business a certain way. And so they wanted to come across super established, confident, and ready to take on the business that was already there, while also appealing to this new digital first millennial business owner. And it was such a fun project. We got to do everything from start to finish, the full brand design, fonts, colors, wireframing and mapping out their website, all the copywriting, all the design and development, and taking it all the way through to really make sure that the site was focused on building more organic leads. Because while they weren't necessarily in a growth phase yet, they wanted to set themselves up for success. So as soon as the operations were cleaned up behind the scenes, they were ready to put gas on that pedal. And I think the site turned out freaking amazing, and I'm really excited for them. So if you happen to be in the financial industry, and you're like, what is design? How do I come across professional? And we worked with quite a few people in the financial industry and really enjoy making what can be a dry subject feel really appealing to prospects. And we're definitely booking more websites this year. So feel free to reach out. Would love to schedule a call with you. You can head to bossproject.com/waitlist to book a time with me, or you can go to bossproject.com and click our website tab under services to hear a little bit more about what it's like to work with us in that regard.
Okay, so let's go ahead and dive into today's episode, because I am passionate about this topic and I feel like I'm going to get a little yelly today in a good way because I care about you all.
Yeah. And it's funny, we were talking about what this would turn into, and we kept saying it was the one thing, but it's the one thing that affects 3 things that affects everything. So it's like,
The core thing that so many things are connected to, but you don't realize it's connected to. But if you don't pay attention to the core thing, then the other things aren't going to be set right. It's all of it. It's the domino. The first domino in line that you need to pay attention to.
By the time you're listening to this, we'll have come up with a better title. But in the meantime,
we'll see.
We're going to dive into what you need to get right in your service-based business. And this is the one thing that really has a dramatic effect across the board and can really make or break your business in a huge way. Because the people who are getting this wrong tend to be the people who are on the road to burnout.
Yep.
They are consistently overworked and underpaid.
Yep.
They feel like everything is simultaneously working against them and that all the systems are broken. And they're
consistently not reaching their financial goals and not understanding why, because they're also so freaking busy all the time.
And they wonder what it would look like, how is it possible to work on other things besides client work? Because client work is the only thing that they know is supposed to be the thing that's making them money. And yet they're confused by where all the other time is going.
Yep. So I'm going to say a bunch of buzzwords for a second, but it's basically going to be all of the things that we're going to try to touch on today. And they're all the things that are interconnected and they're like little atoms bouncing off of each other. They are all together in one space and you cannot have one that doesn't impact the other. So all of what this comes down to are really two things, but these two things like have a major impact on everything else. Today, we're going to be really addressing capacity and your price. Your capacity in a lot of areas. I'm not just talking about like how many clients can you handle at any given time. That is the very surface level conversation of capacity. I want you to know that, and you do need to know that. But I think the conversation that isn't being had is truly the art and skill of actually mastering your capacity and understanding it in such an in-depth, intimate way so that you understand how if your goals change, your capacity is impacted. If you hire, your capacity is impacted. If you want to make more money, your capacity will be impacted. If you raise or lower your prices or add more to your scope or deliverables or throw in a new offer, all of it will be affected and like consequences will happen because of those decisions. And I think we like to just sit here and think of everything kind of existing in a silo of I'm just going to pick a price. I'm just going to pick some items in the scope. I'm just going to pick when it feels like I've reached my capacity of clients. And then what happens is we wake up and we're running a business where we're not exactly sure what needs to happen in order for us to actually reach our goals.
I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The moisture-rich balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken Body Wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken Body Wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling moisture-rich balm, the moisture-rich body balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Yeah. So when you know and understand your capacity, you can do things more intentionally. So there is a limit, you know, if we're talking about client capacity specific, there is a limit to what is not only a comfortable number, but a number that is in alignment for a CEO, for someone who's running and owning the business. That number, the comfort level and like even ethical number, I would say, is different for a team member who has different roles and responsibilities in that regard. They may have a higher capacity for clients than the owner. Well, not they may, they will.
They do. They,
assuming you have similar total number of working hours. It changes, obviously, if someone's super part-time, et cetera. But when you become aware of those things, you can start to see how these things interplay. Like, imagine running your business like a math equation. Okay, this is not going to appeal to the masses. Hold on. You know, it is technically math at the end of the day, but, you know, if we're talking cause and effect here, if you raise or lower your capacity, it adjusts all these other things. And one of the things I think people don't realize is they aren't aware of what they can handle or what is reasonable for them. And so they get to the point that they're either at capacity or more than likely over capacity from a time perspective. And they know they want to grow more revenue because they're consistently feeling like they're not getting paid enough. And so they're like, well, the only solution to this is getting more clients. And that's not always the case. Like, it could be, we've had, and I think it's going to be best helpful to talk about specific client examples here. Bonnie's a good example of someone who it mostly came down to price point. She was over capacity because she was offering at a price point that required her to have twice as many clients as she could technically handle from a time perspective. And she was making it work, but it also meant that she was sacrificing in other areas of her life and business as a result. And she did what we call right-sizing, where you get in alignment with what your real capacity is, what your right price is based on your financial goals and needs. And she had realignment conversations with six existing clients. And for some of those clients, it was a small shift. For other clients, it was doubling or even tripling their price point because they were a legacy client who had been there a long time. But with those six clients, she was able to renegotiate 100% of them. They all stayed and she grew her revenue by $60,000 in a matter of 6 weeks with working with us.
Yeah. So I want to paint you like two versions of that same scenario of what she would have done without our guidance and what you guys might have done or are down the path to do versus what she did do, right? Okay. So she came to us. She's in the marketing space. She has one full-time employee. She came to us saying, I need you to teach me how to hire because I need to grow my team because in order for me to make more money, I need to land more clients, but I'm at capacity. She did know that. I cannot take on any more clients and my one team member is about at capacity. Well, so the obvious answer is in order to take on more clients, I need to hire more people so that they can do the client work and then therefore I will grow my revenue, right? So that's where her brain was. Okay. If she had just done that, what she, and this is the crux of what I'm talking about today, what she wasn't looking out for, which is why we were there, is that, okay, let's pretend that that's what we're going to do. We're going to not adjust your prices. We're going to not have realignment conversations. We're just going to hire. So she was spending a certain percentage of her time, probably already too much, on client deliverables as the founder of the company. Well, as soon as you go to hire, you're spending time writing job descriptions, interviewing, giving test projects, onboarding and training. Let's imagine she knew she needed to hire 2 to 3 new people. So now she's going from a team of one, of herself and one person, to a team of 5 people. Her job would have changed so drastically at the end of 2 to 3 hires, now having a team of 3 to 4 people underneath her plus herself. Whatever her capacity that she was already at over with clients prior to hiring would have dwindled down to next to 0%, probably 0 to 10% in 90 days, like within 90 days of while trying to onboard those people. So while she was hiring to increase her capacity was dwindling. And so within the first 90 days, and only if she would have been very lucky by having really talented people who could get onboarded really quickly and deliver client results really quickly, maybe within 3 months, she could have started to see that capacity increase because her team was taking it over for her. And that is only if everything worked out perfectly. They all stayed on her team and didn't decide to leave at 90 days. They all seamlessly integrated into her project management and her selling process and her client deliverables. And she could just focus on landing more clients and then giving them to her team to deliver. But that is still such an unrealistic situation and timeline that she would have come to us 3, 4, 6 months later, probably in debt, because she wouldn't have been able to increase the revenue by as much as what it needed to have been to justify that team, and not realizing that her capacity was going to go down to 10% or less. So she would have been working probably nights and weekends to make up for what her team wasn't delivering. And it would have been a shit show. And instead, she said, oh, you actually showed me that I didn't need to hire right away. And she instead saw a huge bump in revenue, was able to have space to have her team member to take mat leave, took a vacation herself, multiple, and instead decided to take an entire year to get adjusted to a more premium price point, to saying no to less than ideal clients, to speeding up her client processes to make sure the onboarding and the scope delivery was seamless, and then is now just starting to work with us on what it's going to take to hire.
Yeah, because from a technical standpoint, after about 90 days, we did say to her, and I very explicitly remember about this time last year, we were like, you could technically now look at hiring. Like, you have the right things in place that if you wanted to add a team member, you could. I wouldn't hire three, but I would hire one. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what? I'm feeling pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm making more money. I'm more profitable. Because before she was having, you know, the typical cash flow crunch issue when you're like at capacity, but you know you need more help and you don't have enough help. And like, but do you hire before you're ready and all that? Like,
it's stressful. It's
so stressful. And she coasted for a long time. And like, just now is to the point, oh yeah, let's do this. And so we've helped her mitigate some of the growth. And I'm excited to talk about it more because we've helped her now use and leverage contractors as a temporary solution. And she was able to add 6 new clients to her capacity limit in under 30 days in this last month. And that was because she was now ready to actually leverage support and grow her team. And that will absolutely turn into some full-time positions, but she needed temporary support so that she could bring on the clients to make the financial things make sense before she adds in a full-time income, which is expensive. It's expensive to support full-time team members. It's a luxury and it's something you have to really plan for. But that's not true for every single client we work with. Like, some clients, it isn't as much price dependent. Like, we have other clients we've worked with. Ash is a good example where she came in and she already had like a shocking capacity. Like, she was not the average photographer. You know, most photographers we work with comfortably work with 20 to 30 clients a year. She was working with 140 to 200 clients a year, which is crazy. And I'm not saying that it's not doable. It absolutely is. But she was in a different point in her business. And her price was not necessarily the issue. The issue was that at that volume, she was allowing too much customization of the service she was providing. And it needed to be more focused on systemizing the deliverables in a way that really made the delivery a machine.
Because again, we're having the conversation about capacity. If she was in an industry where she, and not that photography isn't this industry, but specifically how she works with clients, her price honestly is right on the money, taking into account competition. So she was already priced pretty great. She could increase it a little bit, but like, she was going to price herself out for a lot of clients. So she had already decided that she was in the quantity game, right? If you're looking at regular photographers have an average of 20 clients a year, and she's at 150 to 200 clients. She's in the quantity game. Well, if you decide to be in the quantity game, then what you have to take into account is that your capacity in the sales process, in the nurturing process, in the onboarding process, in the delivery, in offboarding, and everything that comes after, right, of a prospect finding out who you are, has to be so streamlined and so seamless and so hands-off so that you can actually have the capacity to serve that many people. But what she was struggling is she was taking a high-end, premium, high-touch, one-on-one, intimate experience and giving it to the quantity masses of her clients who weren't paying the price point to match the service that she was delivering. And so we had to do some cleaning up behind the scenes of, if you're going to stay in the quantity game, and if you're wanting to reach these financial goals, then this is how that quantity needs to scale. Then you absolutely have to adjust the capacity that's being sacrificed over here.
Yeah. And all of those things can be adjusted, but it's definitely a case by case basis. And these things shift and change based on who you are, what industry you're in.
Ours has changed.
What is your lifestyle? Mm-hmm. And you're not committing to these things for life. You're committing to these things for the season you're in.
Yep. For your goals, for how you want to run your business right now.
And so, like, the thing that I get really frustrated about is when people start to approach this as such a black and white thing of, like, you know, sure, they can do the basic math of, okay, I want to make $200,000 this year.
Right.
If I charge this, then I need X number of clients.
Right.
Okay. Is it reasonable, based on your life, how much time you have, based on how long it takes for you to deliver the thing, based on how many leads you're actually getting, the size of your existing audience, how many people are reaching out to you already, what is your average, like, booking rate right now? Like, is that even possible? And I think while someone may conceptually understand how those things are intertwined, they don't necessarily know how to work backwards to look at all of those factors simultaneously. And, like, that's our specialty. Like,
that's literally our job.
I want to pick it apart with you and mm-hmm. make it yes, it's an art, but it's also a science. And so,
absolutely.
It absolutely has very tangible changes that you can make. And sometimes we're like, okay, if you want to run it this way, then, like, you have to get the efficiency of delivery down.
Yep. But what I love, and only because, like, this is how I like pricing and showing up. We had a conversation with another client actually today. So we worked with Joni. She's a coach for product managers, and we're helping restructure, making sure her price was right, the scope was right, the deliverables, all of the things. And what was really cool with her is she was priced pretty well. Like, there was just a little bit of an increase that we suggested. But what was cool is that based off a price increase suggestion, she was able to then show up by easily providing an additional touch point call, easily providing, making this guide or this report to send to managers, easily adding something at this stage of the process that, yes, is going to take her time. And yes, is going to make her capacity need to be a little bit higher for those type of clients. But all of a sudden it comes to, oh, I'm getting paid for my time. How can I make this experience even more valuable and provide even more or better results for my clients? If I'm charging appropriately, I don't feel as defensive for adding in extra time or extra touch points or whatever. And it was really cool to see her be like, oh, I have the room to add those things now.
Yeah. And she felt really in alignment with the pricing changes we were suggesting. Now, I'll be honest, it was almost double. But,
you know, I say small price point whenever, if it's not more than double, then it's small. Because I think everyone could double their prices. I mean, if you're not saying quadruple your price, it's small.
Oh my goodness. Well, so she did make a significant increase in price, but, you know, we're still in a decision-making zone. Like, so there's zones.
Of yeah, yeah. I think maybe that's why I feel like it was small.
Yeah, it's in so there's the same zones of decision-making. If you go from, like, 2 to 5,000, it's less of a psychological jump than going from 5 to 10,000. Even though we're talking similar percentage changes, like, it's in a different capacity. So psychologically speaking, she was still in the same bracket, even if financially she was bringing in more per client. But the cool part with her is like, we were really talking minor tweaks to get her to where she wanted to go. Like, you know, some of our clients, you know, they're in the quantity game. And so the needs are just really different. I would say the vast majority, they can reduce the total number of clients they're working with in an average year. For her, I was like, if you work with the exact same number, you're definitely going to hit that base level that you want to hit in terms of finances. But to get to your like, ooh, like hell yeah level, best level goal for the next 12 months, she only needed to go from 3 organic leads a month to 5 organic leads a month, which, I mean,
doable.
So Hi. Doable. So Hi. Doable. I'm like, this is not that crazy of an increase. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in the time we were working with her, she was like updating us on a Monday. Well, I got 5 new leads over the weekend. And we're like, what?
Like, okay, ma'am.
And then we talked about really tangible things she could change behind the scenes, because she had some fall off where her leads were coming in, but they weren't necessarily booking the discovery call. And so we had a very specific tweak they could make to really catapult that to the next level. And it's just so funny to me how it can be such simple changes. And when you're so close to it, it can be so hard to see the options.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I want to hire someone to do our job for our business. Like, that's 100%. It's not that you can't, and it's not that your brain isn't smart or thinking of these things. Quite literally, the clients we work with, I'm like, oh my God, you are so fucking smart. And you still hired us to like do this part of the puzzle for you, because it takes an unbiased opinion, a third yes. party, a different I set think of it's eyes. The
unbiased part, really.
Yes. Yes.
Like, sometimes it's confirmation of things you were already imagining. Oftentimes it's a new perspective and getting you to think about things in a new way or a different way, or really respecting the lifestyle you want. I would say that happens more often than not, of like,
well, we're sticklers for that. So
yeah, people will be like, I want to grow. And I was literally on a discovery call today, and I was like telling her about how I talk people out of scaling their businesses all the time. And I was like, what am I doing?
Uh-huh.
But truly, we were on a podcast interview.
I was just going to bring that
up. We were on a podcast interview, and we're like, she asked us, how many people do you talk out of completely running their own business? And we're like, about a third.
Honestly, about a third.
About a third. But I would say another third, easily, we talk out of scaling in the way they had originally imagined.
Yep.
Not that they're not going to make more money.
Right. Don't get me wrong. There's a difference. Like, because the capacity of conversation is not the one that's had when you right. want to decide to scale.
So at the end of the day, I would really say only about a third, or maybe even less, maybe 20%, 15% of our clients actually truly want to scale. And by scale, I mean not just grow revenue, but grow capacity, grow team members.
Yeah. Like the size of their company. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And so I want to be respectful of what kind of life you want. And I want to be mindful of, you know, some of the people come in saying, I really want to work part-time. Almost all of them don't, which is mm-hmm. surprising. That is a yes. surprise to me.
Yeah, what's the biggest lie our audience has ever told us? That they want to cut back their hours.
Yeah. Most of them actually, if they can enjoy their job more, they don't mind the number of hours they're working. But I will say, some of them will say, I want this kind of business. And I'm like, are you sure? Do you really? Is that how you really want to show up? Because we talk through like, what does it take at different levels? And you have to show up as a completely different human with different skills. And you have to be willing to learn and grow as a leader and grow as a manager. And it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Well, I feel like we could have the what does capacity affect in your business conversation all day long, because it truly, truly affects literally everything, and understanding how your capacity shifts as your team grows, as your price point changes, as your offer changes, as the amount of people in your audience who are ready for your offer changes, as the market changes and buying behaviors change. All of that is affected by and also affects capacity. And then that ultimately determines your pricing and where you really need to fall within what you're actually delivering and how long it takes you. If you want help figuring out what that clusterfuck in your own business looks like and get a sounding board for figuring it out, we would love to be those people. We love to provide an unbiased opinion that's firm and in alignment with your boundaries and a life first business. So go steal some time from Abigail's calendar. Like, quite literally, you could chat with her like this week if you wanted to, by heading to bossproject.com/waitlist.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.